This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue Tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Oh,
hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you.
What a glorious day.
Why are you saying that?
What a glorious day.
What's up?
I go to bed with basketball. I wake up with basketball. I basketball so hard.
This is like 4-day run that I think it starts today.
Yes.
It is like we all become college basketball experts, mm-hmm. First of all. Because we find out about these teams that we are going to have 100% certainty when we fill out our brackets exactly who is going to win each and every game.
I've been following so closely all season.
Mm. You have been, Russ.
You're dialed in on those Richmond Spiders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so now we learn everything, we take it all in, and we will fill out our brackets. But it's exciting because there's so much that is said about how NIL has changed college sports, and these guys don't care as much. Did you see that dude for Kansas State last night?
Mm-mm.
Kansas State lost in the Big 12 title, or the Big 12 tournament. Side note there, East Coast people, when they say tournament, ugh, gets me every time. But they lost in the Big 12 tournament, and this dude, like, he could not speak. He was bawling his eyes out, and he was like, I just wanted this to be special. I wanted to change the course of Kansas State basketball. I thought we could do it. And you could see just how much it meant to him. And he's a dude that he got paid more NIL money than anybody else on Kansas State's team. And it was like, no, they still love the school.
Look, man,
it's different.
Sure, but the guys that love it are going to love it no matter what.
No doubt about
it. That's just the thing. Cooper Flagg is making more money in basketball and college basketball this year than anybody else.
He just died today.
Yeah, and you can tell he's devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Devastated. And it's if you love it, you love it. Now,
for those that don't know, Cooper Flagg went up for a rebound. And he came down and he rolled his ankle so badly.
Yeah.
He had to be wheelchaired off the floor. He got up. Actually, I watched that and I said, first, his draft stocks, it's going to fall to like somewhere between like 8 and 11, right?
So wherever the Blazers are picking, that's where he's going to fall.
I think he's going to fall in that 8 or 11 range. I mean, a sprained ankle is a big deal. Okay.
I mean, look, it kept Matisse Thybulle out for like 4 months.
That's right. I mean, you remember Steph Curry at the beginning of his career?
Yeah.
I mean,
unstable ankles.
They can affect you. I think he's like 8 to 11. I'm just, look, I'm just throwing it out there right now. I think we really need to start that conversation. Not enough people are talking about that. All right? That ankle is going to hold him back, and it should drop him to between 8 or 11, depending. Actually, can I get back to you on May 12th?
Is it just a coincidence that the Blazers now sit tied for the 8th worst record in the association?
Oh, weird. Oh, is that where they're at?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Oh, I did. I had no idea.
Yes.
I had no idea. You know, I'll have more information May 12th. I think May 12th is the day that I should know.
Despite
that's just a random day. I'm throwing it out there. It's just like two months out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a random day. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody get any ideas.
We won't be on any location anywhere doing anything.
Of what's happening on that day. It's just a day I feel will be the right time to find his range.
I mean, despite the Blazers playing good, entertaining basketball over the last basically 2 months, they've lost 5 straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 6 of 7.
Magical.
Magical. Yeah, I don't know. We have a lot that we need to figure out here. Yeah. All right. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll get it all there. But yeah, Cooper Flagg went down. We'll talk about that today.
I don't like it.
We must discuss.
I don't like it. But I tell you what, I do love college basketball this time of year, man. This is
great.
My favorite part about this is, you know, I do a lot of the scouting stuff for the NBA side. So I check in, like, Arkansas and Ole Miss are playing right now. And Arkansas, unfortunately, does not have Boogie Fland. He broke his hand earlier in the season. He's out for the rest of the year.
Mm.
So I haven't really checked back in with him as much. I've watched a couple games here or there, but I haven't watched them as closely. But come tournament time, it's like, okay, it's cool. It's time to check back in with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Like, you know, there's just so many teams in college basketball, and with the Blazers schedule, I can't really dive into stuff until I go, okay, I need to carve out a day to watch tape on, you know, these prospects. But when these games are just coming like this, it's like, okay, cool, I get to have a little bit of fun. Let's watch a little bit of them. Let's see how they look. Let's see how these teams look. Like, and it feeds into how badly I'm going to do in my bracket.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The more basketball I watch.
Do you say how bad you're going to do?
Oh, yeah. The more basketball I watch, the worse up my brackets are.
Right now, I feel more confident than ever. I'm going to win that $1 million.
So back-to-back years with the hip surgeries. I was basically bedridden for a month. I watched every college basketball game damn near in existence during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, going into those brackets, I was like, I'm ready, baby.
I'm ready.
And I had bad upset after bad upset after bad upset.
None of us have an idea.
I got crushed, man. It was brutal.
You knew it.
It's like, you got to be kidding me.
And then the one team, you're like, yeah, they're the dark horse. They're going to make a run. Wrong. So wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get run by like 15 in the first game. You're like, oh, well, I thought I had it.
That's Drake for me this year. Drake terrifies me.
And you know what?
If you're playing them, I'm like, you're not in a good place.
Yeah. You know what I love, too? I love when, like, Twitter just, like, will show you, hey, by the way, this happened 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was today. Today was Bryce Drew has done it for Valparaiso.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's 27 years ago?
That was 1998.
God.
Yeah. Bryce Drew has done, and that does not seem like that is a correct number I am saying right now, 27.
Nearly 30 years ago.
But that is the truth. That is the truth. I love seeing those videos pop up. You know, we're gonna get Tyus Edney soon. You know, I love seeing all those memories.
Yeah, you get the tournament, the conference tournament ones, and then you get the March Madness ones, and those two are...
Well, we get all the March Madness ones now because the tournament's been bumped
back. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're getting like all the first round upsets. It's great.
And unfortunately, you get also similarities you can draw, like Kenyon Martin destroying his leg for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati's season coming to an end because, well, they.
Which
lost.
Was about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's.
Jeez Louise. And there's a lot of people like all the young bucks out there going, who's Bryce Drew?
Or Kenyon Martin Jr., you mean?
Yeah, no, his daddy.
No, his dad, who was the most...
He's got Rihanna's lips tattooed on his neck.
The most ferocious dunker in the NBA not named Shaq.
God, he was awesome.
Oh, God, he was so good.
Those Cincinnati teams were great, too.
The
Huggy Bear.
Oh, the best-looking jersey-short combination in college basketball.
Mm.
Those things were glorious. Yeah. I had probably two or three pair of those Cincinnati Bearcat shorts. Mm. I had the white ones and then the black ones. And every time I went to the hoop and went to just pick up runs, always wearing those.
You never know when a game's going to break out.
Under my pants.
You know, you just always had them.
Under my pants, baby. I had those, and I had the Xavier ones, the dark blue with the big white X.
Oh,
those,
look at you.
Oh, yeah, dude. Are you kidding me? Those are my teams, man. Marquette. I love those. I love those nasty teams.
Those two teams hate each other, too. Cincinnati mm-hmm. and Xavier.
Oh, yeah.
That's the infamous zip them up.
Yep.
Put them in a body bag. We're about to zip them up. And everybody's like, you can't talk about killing somebody on the podium. And I remember, I think it was Mick Cronin was sitting there. He was the coach. He looked over at his player like, that was even more aggressive. It's like, you know where I'm from? We zip them up and put them in a body bag. I was like, wow.
Easy. Dial it back. Dial it back.
All right. Well, we got a show that we got to get to. Blazer game was awesome last night. That was great basketball. The whole thing, it was like Keep Portland Weird Night,
mm-hmm.
Weird Wednesday, as they called it. It got weird. It got real weird.
It did.
And it started like at the beginning of it even.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Even before the game.
Before the game even started, it got weird. And then the game started and it sucked. That was a really bad start to the game. I even tweeted you.
Oh,
this was not a Danny Meringue patented great suck-off game guarantee, and we got it at the beginning. And then it turned on its head.
And then it turned into the best game of the year.
All right, let's talk about that. We also got to get to some NFL news, notesies, thing goings on around the league, because we've talked about all the free agency signings. Well, mm-hmm. now they're actually signing. And Aaron Rodgers is holding teams hostage. I think there's one team that is going about free agency in a dynamite way. And there is a method to the madness that we're seeing from them.
Russell Wilson made his meeting with the Browns, and he's on his way to New York now.
It's like, this is like the Browns and the Giants are basically looking at their starting quarterback position like a little league draft, where they're like, all right, we'll take Billy.
I guess.
He's got to be on somebody's team this year. I guess he's going to be ours, but he's going to be their starting quarterback. That's where Russell Wilson is right now, and oh boy, that's getting gnarly. So let's get this show on the road, shall we? Let's start with the Portland Trail Blazers. Got a double bang last night, and the game started out with a bang. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trail Blazers picked up a loss that felt like a win last night to the Knickerbockers of New York. That game was fun, man. From start to finish, that was just a fun night of basketball. And really, you say from start to finish, it started with probably one of the most infamous national anthems in Blazers history. Well, in Blazers history, the most infamous.
Yes.
It's one that still gets replayed over and over again.
It was one of the first viral videos.
Yeah. Yeah. 2005, Natalie Gilbert sang the national anthem. This would be the one where Mo Cheeks had to come and help her.
Mm-hmm.
That was, 2003, right? 2003?
They said 23 seasons ago, but 22 years ago.
So yeah. 2003. Because then it was posted on the internet that it was in 2005, and I was like, I don't.
That's not right now.
That didn't feel right either. So 22 years ago, she finally returns.
And nobody knew this was happening. That's what makes this thing so cool. All of a sudden, Mark Mason, like, it says, hey, we've got something here. And I'll let Mark
fans, before we get to tonight's national anthem, we ask to travel back in time with us, April 25th, 2003. It was Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals against the Dallas Mavericks. And 13-year-old Natalie Gilbert took center court to start the festivities off by singing the national anthem. After starting strong, the nerves took over, and she tripped over some of the words and became a bit flustered. It was then that Trailblazers head coach Maurice Cheeks stepped in, joining Natalie and encouraging the crowd to sing along, helping her complete the anthem and creating an iconic Trailblazers moment fans still talk about today. Well, guess what? Tonight, she's back. So we ask that you please rise and remove your hats and welcome back Natalie Nowzito with the singing of our national anthem.
How great was that?
I can tell you right
now. And she killed it, dude.
Oh, she sang the hell out of it, man. It even now I'm getting a little goosebumply, little teary-eyed. We're all sitting up in press row. As soon as Mark says this, everybody looked around and like, are they bringing her back? And like, everyone was beaming. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
pretty cool.
There's scouts from other teams that are sitting there that are like, no way. Just, you know, and you could just feel it. And when she can sing, she started getting it, man. And the crowd just roared every time she hit a big note. I mean, it was cool as hell, man. It's one of the better anthems they've had this year, but more than that, the just swell of emotion to start the game was incredible.
Probably the best thing Mo Cheeks did as a coach of the Blazers, too.
And it was really cool because Mo was in the house.
Yeah, he's an assistant with Tibbs.
With Tibbs.
Which that
does
not... They
planned that out pretty well, huh?
Yeah. Mm. They're on it.
Yeah.
That does not... That seems like an oil and water combination, Maurice Cheeks and Tom Thibodeau. It's like good cop, bad cop,
yeah,
there.
For sure. As she hit the last verse, the big screen flashes Cheeks up on the bench, and he looks up and just smiles, and the crowd just roars.
He was smiling ear to ear. That was really cool. That was a cool start to it. That's really awesome that the Blazers brought her back. I can only imagine how difficult that was to go and find her. I mean, think about that. Like, you're going you're going back like 22 years. She's got a new last name.
Yep.
They're like, all right.
She said that was a pivotal moment
somebody's
for her.
Somebody's
got to. And it was such a huge, huge deal for what Cheeks did for her.
Yeah.
And the confidence that it gave her basically in life after that. It was, I mean, that's a, I mean, it's a 13-year-old, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Most 13-year-olds would never sing again.
Oh, God, no. And she's
never, ever, ever.
Been doing it forever.
That's awesome. That was cool. It was good to have Mo Cheeks there. Mo looks old. Turns out. That's what age will do to you.
It happens.
It's 20-plus years since he was the coach of the Blazers. So that was an awesome start to the game. Then the game actually started, and it wasn't great basketball being played.
No, you get a 26-21 game in the first quarter, and it was nasty. So you've got the Knicks. They're on a five-game swing. They're in game four of their road trip. The Blazers, yeah, they're home. But they're finally home and unpacked after 9 games in 9 cities in 15 days. And, it had a very much, like, every shot that was put up by both teams, I swear to God, every miss in the first quarter was short because it just wasn't legs.
They found it. They found it as the game went on. What transpired after that was when you say it was an all-timer, people will go, yo, okay. You know, and it's not two great teams. But that game, 42 lead changes. Which
one
is the
shy.
Second most in NBA history, well, since they've started tracking it, which is in 1996. Think of all the games that have been played since 1996. Second most lead changes in almost 29 years of basketball. And it came down to a Mikal Bridges game winner at the end for the final lead change, which just so happened to be the same person who hit the game winner in the game that had the most lead changes in NBA history.
In the game that had the exact same score, 114-113 between the Nets and the Hawks. The similarities there are absolutely, like, that's the universe just coming together.
Yeah.
The largest lead of the game was 8 points. The game did not get to double digits once.
That's wild, man.
You look at Haberstroh tweeted out the win probability and distance in between. It's just a straight line.
Yeah.
It's just a straight line. It was played so tight the entire game.
It was good basketball. It was two teams that were, if we're being honest, punch drunk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ant was not the guy he has been over the last handful of games. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You could see he
30
was
30 or more in four of his last five games, and he just did not have it.
He finally looked tired. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, Scoot Henderson might have had his best game. He drops 30, and there were a couple of plays. One play where he just dribbled around in circles. It looked like it looked like Speedy Gonzalez running around circles where you have the big dumb Cowboys trying to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, nope, not going to catch me. Circled the wagons twice, goes up, boom.
He did that
buckets.
Three different times, and
he dribbled for 8 seconds on one of them. Just
the thing that I've been wanting to see from Scoot Henderson is keeping his dribble live in the paint, because his rookie year, so often he'd pick his dribble up at free throw line extended, and it was forcing him into shots that at 6'2", you just can't get away with in the NBA. Yeah. Unless you're Ja Morant, Derrick Rose, one of, like, just an insane burst level athlete.
Well,
right?
He would leave his feet too.
Yep.
And get, just get stuck in the air.
And guys like, you know, Zubac would just eat him alive. Just be like, I know what you're going to do. You pick the ball up, buddy. But when he keeps his dribble alive, those big guys, they get on the tips of their toes and they're just like, ah, 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 and they're waiting for him, and you make them delay and they can't pick up your timing, and you're changing up what foot you're taking off of. Remember, he always wanted to go that reverse over and over. They just wait for him to go to the other side of the rim. Now you keep your dribble alive and you make them worry about it, and it becomes that much more threatening. And Scoot has had a bigger scoring night. His career high is the 39-point game that he had late December, early January. But this is the game he played with the most force with. What was really interesting was, in the game, Denny was the guy that's tied at 77 apiece in the fourth quarter. To start the fourth quarter. And I tweeted going into the fourth quarter, I go, Denny and two are getting it done. Denny and Sharp and two are carrying the water right now. I go, if they want to have a chance to win this game, somebody's got to join them. Scoot has 18 points in the fourth quarter. And it was downhill drive after downhill drive after downhill drive.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a horribly missed, but yet banked in three.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He called it.
But that game got so punch drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the perfect way to put it because it had everything. You had the Blazers had four straight turnovers late in the third quarter. And you're going, oh, my God. But then it just turned into a comedy of errors from the Knicks. And nobody could really capitalize. And you're just sitting there like, what is happening in this game? The Blazers finished the game with 23 turnovers. But in the fourth quarter and overtime combined, four. Four.
Really? Cleaned it up.
They cleaned it up.
Well, they weren't making shots at the clip that they were before, especially overtime. But that was.
I'm sorry, it was three. They took one away.
What's that?
There's only three turnovers.
Well,
they took one away
instead of four. All right.
Turnover free in overtime and three in the fourth quarter.
As good as that game was, the officiating was wild.
It was
NBA needs to streamline their reviewing of what they review, why they review it, and sure as heck the length of the reviews.
The most egregious call of the night was an air ball that was by the Knicks that missed the rim by 8 inches. So where I sit in the media row, it's right at the very top of the 100 level, even with the Blazers bench. So I can see that rim clear as day. And when he missed, I go, oh, God, he missed that horribly. Loose ball rebound. Josh Hart's kind of stumbling, bumbling. It's 3 seconds to go on the shot clock. The ref comes sprinting in, waving his arms, blowing the whistle, pointing at the shot clock. And I'm like, did I look away? Did somebody grab the rim? Like, what are you calling here? He's like, we're checking to see if the shot clock should be reset. I'm sitting there going, what?
There's some weird, very weird ones. I think they need to they've gone too far with the any contact above the head is a automatic flagrant foul.
Because the Monte Kamara one was horrid.
There's some really bad ones.
After Cat almost took his head off earlier in the game.
There were two Cat ones it was like, what is happening here?
The Karl Anthony Towns elbow on Tumani Kamara probably should have been a flagrant. They didn't even review that. And they review one on, oh, sorry, it wasn't two, it was Shaden. Shaden just drove to the rim and caught Cat under the chin with an elbow on a normal looking shot. Cat just stuck his nose in there. There's nothing there. Donovan Clingan had 5 fouls last night, and he finished the game with 5 fouls. I wish at that point in time that Donovan Clingan had 2 fouls. Because Karl Anthony Towns flailed his elbows, and Jabari Walker's in concussion protocol.
It was dirty. Bad.
It was filthy. The Blazers bench was pissed. I mean, I thought Chauncey was going to get teed up. He sprinted and went nose-to-nose with the ref. Like, it was... I mean, Jabari was down on the floor in a heap.
Yeah, watching at home and on TV, it didn't look malicious. I think it was more of, with the way that those were being called in the game, how are you not going to just automatically call that?
Yeah, and they didn't even call a foul.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like...
That's what I think it was. I didn't get, like, malicious, dirty intent by Cat, because he even looked and he was like, ooh, you all right?
That's the normal reaction of guys when they realize they screwed up.
Well, it didn't look. I don't think it looked dirty.
I wish Donovan Clingan would have had 2 fouls at that point in time because I wanted him to knock Cat to the ground and put him in a heap. Because Donovan was probably the one that was the most angry.
Yeah.
When they go to the timeout, Donovan's right behind Chauncey, like pantomiming Clingan, like slinging his elbows all over the place, and you can read his lips even from where I'm sitting.
Yeah,
he was.
It just felt like one team could do it, and the other team definitely could not, and that's a bigger issue. And that is the biggest. Yeah.
But that's the way this game was played for the most part. It was incredibly physical. It was just guys getting after it, diving for loose balls. There was a play where the Blazers almost turn it over. I believe it was the end of the fourth quarter. It ends up going out off of Josh Hart. Denny Avdia went for a full-on penguin slide. They're the replay. They keep rewinding it, and it just shows Denny full penguin slide on his chest for like 10 feet, and you're just like, that probably can't feel good at this point in the game.
That was a game where if that's what I wanted for 82 games this year. That's exactly what I wanted for 82 games. You play hard. It goes back and forth.
No.
At the end, it's exciting, but the Blazers get their hearts ripped out.
Bridges to inbound. Knicks break. Hart gets it. Right back to Bridges. Bridges puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Mikal Bridges wins it at the buzzer. What a finish!
Mike Breen on the call for MSG. It didn't go the Blazers' way, but I think there's one other thing that happened at the end of that game that Blazer fans wanted to see, and they finally got it. That's after Rust with SportsCenter Update. Blazers lost, and Blazer fans are not too upset about it. The way that game went kind of helps the team with the way that the NBA lottery odds are going right now. Big jump if you finish eighth as opposed to, you know, the 10th worst record in the NBA as far as you're getting into the top four.
Double those top four odds from 13 to 26%. It's a big deal.
One thing about that game, as we talked a lot about it, is there was something at the end that I think a lot of Blazer fans, they've wanted to see, and they finally got to see it. And it's not the first time, but it's always good when you get a hint of the young guys with the opportunity to close a game out.
It's a big deal in the sense of it's the first time that both Scoot and Shaden had it going in the same game. Like, you look at the games that they've had when they've had good games, the other one, they would be okay. And so you would give Chauncey Billups, go, okay, we're going to go with Ant here, or we're going to go Jeremy here, or we're going to go with somebody else we can trust. Even if a guy's having an okay game, there's just been something that would kind of make you pull the ripcord a little bit.
In the final 4 minutes and change of regulation and into overtime, you saw 9 minutes and 24 seconds of Denny Avdia, 9 minutes and 6 seconds of Donovan Kling, and 9:24 of Shaedon Sharpe. Tumani Kamara, 5.5.
Scoot, because he fouled out.
9:24.
Otherwise, it would have been two out there.
You would have had all of those guys that the kind of guys who are going to be here long term and on the same timeline type guys all out on the floor together. And it's just one of, when you have that lineup, you just want to see more of it. Whatever that looks like, you just want more of it because those guys have got to get the familiarity of playing alongside each other.
Yeah, so after last night's game, that group has played 83 possessions
all
together.
All five?
Yes, all five.
Okay.
So all five of those guys have played 83 possessions together this season. They have a point differential of minus 25.8, which puts them in the zeroth percentile. They are zero in points per possession. They are zero in effective field goal percentage. They are zero in turnover rate. The only thing that they do anywhere near league average is the offensive rebound rate, which is in the 41st percentile. Defensively, they're in the 37th percentile. This is the one thing that they do well, and again, very small sample size. They hold opponents to 51.2% in effective field goal percentage, which is in the 92nd percentile. Otherwise, everything else, teams, opponents, their offensive rebound rate is 34.8, which is the second percentile, which means their Blazers get pummeled on the offensive glass, and their free throw rate is 32.1, which means they get to the free throw line.
Yeah, and it's rate. You said 83 possessions of the entire season.
Yeah, that it's again incredibly
small, but that's why people wanted to see more of it because they have to get used to playing with each other.
And the pushback to that from the coaching staff and the players will be that they were been trying to win games for the past 2 months, and putting all five of those guys out on the floor, even the small sample size, and even the eye test tells you you can't do that if you're trying to win games. Now, you can disagree with that, but they chased the play-in.
Yep.
That's what they did. And
I disagree with that.
That's fine.
Vehemently.
But the data bore it out. And
the data bored out what? Chasing the play-in?
No. I'm talking about those guys on the
floor
together.
Goodness gracious.
Well, no, I mean, look, I didn't think they were ever going to get there, but...
No.
Joe decided that was the path that they were going to take, and he was going to give them opportunity. And here's the thing that I liked about last night. Everybody talks about, well, they need minutes. And like, I am a firm, steadfast believer. Volume of minutes does not matter. Quality of minutes matters. Last night, that was quality minutes. It mattered. It was tight. They were playing well. Scoot Henderson has 18 points in the fourth quarter, and I thought Chauncey gave him enough rope to try to make game-winning plays in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And Scoot lost the ball a couple times and forced a couple plays that probably weren't there. But I'm okay with that because Chauncey said, look, man, you've earned it.
Yeah, I just think that there has been ample opportunity to give them those quality minutes, and they have not.
I don't think there was ever a time when you could say that all those guys were playing well together.
There was time to put them out on the floor, though, and give them the opportunity to. There absolutely 100% is. And chasing the play-in is one thing, and they weren't going to get it. Let those guys decide those games then, you know?
Which is what they're going to do down the final now 15 games. I would be shocked if you don't see this lineup a lot down the stretch.
And that's what people want to see, and because those are the guys that are going to be here long-term. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're on the same timeline moving forward. And so hopefully we do get more than 83 possessions.
Oh, yeah. No, that number is going to be probably close to 400 or 500, I think, by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And that's when the data actually starts to normalize, is when you get about 500 possessions. Still not great at that point in time, but that's when it starts to normalize.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to kind of see what that is, because the Ant... Denny 2 Klingon lineup, those four guys, and then you can kind of, whoever you kind of put in there, has got, I want to say it's almost 500 possessions, and it's in the 99th percentile.
Hey, that's pretty
points
good.
Points per possession. That's what they were, that's the data they were leaning on.
Yeah.
It's, hey, look, the coaching staff and the analytics department and the video group, like they all see this stuff. They all know, like, sure, like we want to get X, Y, and Z out there, but if you're trying to win games,
yeah,
you go with what is working, and then you try to piecemeal and get those guys opportunities in between.
We have a text on the fan text line. Was it Chauncey Billups coaching? You knew Bridges was going to get the ball. First, they can't deny him the ball. I would have had two or three guys on it. Then that means two guys are open.
Yeah.
Not enough time for him to pass to have someone else make the three, which is the only way to lose. I blame our poor defensive play called. Look, that was a falling away, falling from right to left. From
28 feet.
And Donovan Klingon may have been a half step slow, but he did get his hand up on that shot too.
Seven foot two. With a, was it a 9'9" standing reach?
Boy, it wasn't the most beautiful play call, but they do an inbound quick handoff and they use the screen.
And at 3.4 seconds, go under you absolutely can pass the ball.
You can.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame the coaching on that one.
And Chauncey said in the post game,
I'm okay they lost, so I'm okay with everything that happened there.
Chauncey said in the post game, if I could have done it differently, I probably would have tried to get Donovan out, but I wanted to make sure that we were able to secure the rebound because they were going to be cross matched everywhere. And I get that. I think the natural move would have been to put two in there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to put Chris in there after sitting for the last 20 minutes? No, you're not. You're going to go, hey, Matisse, you haven't played all season. Give me 3.4 seconds right now. No, you're not going to do that.
You're going to do a lot in 3.4 seconds.
You're going to put Banton in there? No, you're not going to do that. And again, I don't think Chauncey yet committed coaching malfeasance. I think he did what he thought was right in a situation. Even if you disagree with it.
It was a hell of a shot, dude.
It was an insane shot.
It was ridiculous.
Look, if two isn't fouled out, yeah. Yeah, then I'd be like, Chauncey, come on. Hey.
We know who's getting the ball here. Yeah. But, especially with no Brunson.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Cat. When they inbounded to Cat, I thought Cat was going to – I turned to Hike and, during the timeout, and I go, it's going to be a Cat game winner here. I thought the play they ran was going to be a fake DHO because there'd probably be a cross match on Cat with Denny. And Denny was on Cat, and Cat is, 7 foot tall, and he's a great 3-point shooter. You fake the DHO with the game that Bridges is having. Bridges was incredible last night, by the way. It seemed like he didn't miss all night. Anything that he pulled up on the paint in, and every shot he took seemingly was a pull up or a right to left runner going through the paint, and it was just cash all night.
Cash money.
So I thought they might use the decoy action with Bridges coming off the DHO and having the defense suck up to Bridges.
Dribble handoff.
And then have Cat have a good look at a stationary three. That's what I thought was going to happen. When he handed off, I was like, oh!
All right.
But, I mean, look, man, you just tip your... It's okay to say that another team did good and you didn't do bad. That's an actual thought process that you can have. That another team made a better play. A guy hit a running right to left 28-footer at the buzzer.
What are you going to do?
Congratulations.
For the 42nd lead change of the game. Game was drunk. And it's young guys figuring it out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing.
They're getting their battle scars,
it's young
man.
Guys that have got to figure it out.
100%.
They're not going to be great at all times. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. We have a little bit of news. One team in the state of Oregon is not going the ways of some of the other power programs across college football. Danny and Dusty. Well, it feels like college football just ended, but spring ball's already starting up for a bunch of programs across the country.
And not starting up for some programs.
Well, they're still doing spring ball, just not going to have the spring games. That has been the big one where, you know, a lot of the power brokers around college football, whether it's USC, Nebraska, Texas, Ohio State, all saying no spring game for us this year. The Ducks have started their spring practices, and the news out of Eugene is Dan Lanning saying, yeah, no, we're still going to have a spring game. I think there's two lines of thinking around that. One is we don't want to just give another school an opportunity to get their eyes on our guys by having these televised spring games, and they can come and poach our roster. The other is, yeah, they're going to try to poach your roster no matter what. They don't need a spring game to know who's on your roster, what needs they need to fill on theirs. I lean more towards the back end of it. And with the, it's really interesting. Like, Texas, I don't really get why they wouldn't do it because everybody knows how good your roster is. Ohio State, everybody knows how good your roster is. Nebraska and USC, it's like both of them still have something to prove.
Not only that, the turnover at USC is drastic.
And the negative recruiting that comes out of it is going to be amplified. So they just don't want that extra chance for somebody to see. It's still going to happen.
No.
It's still going to happen.
They haven't had a recruiting class, with the exception of last year, that's been anything that anybody should write home about.
Yeah. They're transfers, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
and the guys,
just college football coaches are so paranoid.
I hate this about any coach, whether it's Chip Kelly at Oregon buttoning everything up, or Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma putting, you know, paper over the dorms so they couldn't. It's like, come on, man. It's just, it's the whole Bill Belichickian mindset of nuclear secrets. And it's to an extent, it pisses me off the Blazers do it. They do closed bowl shoot-arounds. It's like, what am I going to do? Tell them the game plan that you're going to go through? Like, it's basketball, man. You all run the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to show that you're going to cross-match Donovan Klingon on Josh Hart? I literally talked about it on a Knicks show the night before. Like, I had the Knicks guys like, oh, do you think Tumani Kamara is going to be a kind of a disruptor? I'm like, no, they're going to put him on Josh Hart early in the game. They're going to switch Donovan Klingon on him late in the game. That's exactly what the Blazers did. It's not hard to know if you watch the NBA. It's the same thing in college basketball or college football. It's not hard to know what you're going to run and who's doing what.
Yeah.
Now, you may have let's take Oregon, Kenyon Sadiq, and you still got T. Ferg out there, and you don't want somebody coming in and trying to really negative recruit him and get him out of there. Sure, fine, whatever.
But
people are still going to talk.
Because everybody knows who's on each other's rosters. This is what happens is, now you're going to have that same negative recruiting is going to be, they don't even trust that they can keep their own guys. They don't even trust that they can hold on to you guys. They're scared, which is BS, but that's the way the whole seedy side of recruiting works, and it's all dumb.
But they're
all dumb.
They're going to do that regardless. Do you think that Alabama was sitting there going to, you know, I use this one up just because Saban talked about it at the draft with Quinion Mitchell. It's like, yeah, they knew he was good, but are they watching the spring game to see if he's really that good, and now they're going to really go after him harder? It's like, no, you know who good guys are.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're worried about somebody coming and pilfering your depth, then you've got a bigger problem.
You really do.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's just, it's such a weird thing to me.
Yeah. I still think eventually what we're going to get is spring games are controlled scrimmages between two different teams. I think that is going to happen at some point.
I mean,
it's not a game.
The NFL does it.
It's just they'll have controlled scrimmages that people can come to, and you can go and you can watch those. But only time will tell. Only time will tell.
I'm with it.
Yeah. So, but Oregon's going to continue to have their spring game, April 26th. They're going to make it happen, Captain. And then I think with everything, like all these TV deals and stuff, televising spring games are a big part of that, you know? Just having that little bit of extra inventory. Hell, Fox did a couple of spring games last year. That's where I saw Ohio State.
Yeah.
Was on actual Fox. The damnedest thing. Crazy. But people get bored. People want football. They have a thirst for it. We'll see it in some way, shape, or form moving forward. So Oregon is going to keep going with that. And they started their spring ball this week. They had a Tuesday and then today. And then they're going to take a break for spring break, and then they're going to ramp it back up come April, and spring game at the end of April, and it'll be right here on The Fan.
There you go.
Yeah, let's go. Giddy up, buttercup. All right, let's get to hour number two here on the radio program, where we got to get into this college basketball, because if you're a Duke fan, your season's over.
If you're a college basketball fan.
But yeah, if you're a Duke fan, yeah, you're really in your feelings right now. How low will they go? Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.